Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, guys, I tell you what, we got the disco ball spinning in the background. That's right, you're listening to Hot Rods and Happy Hour, but it's all about the 70s this week. This is Rob Pitts, your host with the most. I like that. I'm kind of going in with that 70s style.
I hear you.
That's right. And we got Breezy and Smitty in the studio.
Hey, DJ Rob.
What's happening, yo?
That's what I'm saying. Ain't no jive turkeys around here.
Jive turkeys.
And we got Kobe Miller, local builder, right here in the studio with us.
What's up, guys?
That's right. And, of course, we got the professor himself, Hot Rods and Happy Hour financial analyst, and one sly cat. Put your hands together for Mr. Richard Hoskins.
What's happening, Frog Eye, Alabama?
Frog Eye, Alabama.
Oh, Frog.
That sounds like a hit place. Oh, man. I tell you what, guys. We're talking all about the 70s this week on Hot Rods and Happy Hour. And I'll be honest with you, no matter who you are, there's a car from the 70s you love. Everybody. I know a lot of people want to make fun of these 70s cars, but I'm going to tell you something. Some really neat cars and some influential cars came out of the 70s. Got to respect the 70s.
Yes, sir.
Like Saturday Night Fever, the Bee Gees, Disco Inferno, just say it.
Yeah, I mean, everything. Music, movies, cars, vans.
Vans?
Vans, and not the shoes.
Candy paint.
Yeah, that's right, because I'm over the age of 12. I can't wear the shoes.
Watch it.
Smitty wears the shoes all the time.
Where did you get those at? Kids Foot Locker?
No, from a van store. Beside Kids Foot Locker.
Oh, you shopping in the boys' department? Oh, you wearing your kid's sister's kids? No, these are Vans, dummy. Leave me alone. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I mean, there's some really cool cars in the 70s. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, 70s came in strong. And it's so weird. Like, in the 80s cars, you know, when you think about it, they started out kind of on the low, and they went up as the 80s went on.
Yeah.
The 70s was the polar opposite. They started at the top in horsepower and drop like a rock steady.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to the bottom.
Dead bottom. But, I mean, you got to think about some of this, the no-brainer 70s cool cars. First thing that pops in my head is a 1970 Chevelle. How about you, Kobe?
Me, I would have to go with, like, your 70 Mustang Boss, or even, I would say, like a Pontiac Firebird Trans Am type deal.
How about you, Smitty?
How about the Ford Pinto?
That is a very 70s car.
Very.
That's a very 70s car.
That was my mom's first car.
That was probably a lot of people's mom's first car.
That's true, too.
Was it the station wagon, or was it?
Oh, no.
You might have been made in a Pinto.
I don't like to think about that.
I've closed those off.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that.
Dude, my mom's told me all kinds of stories about her and her cousins jumping in the Pinto after work. Going straight to the beach, hitting the Bowery up, and hanging out with Alabama before they were Alabama.
Yeah, his mama was a groupie.
Hanging out with Alabama in South Carolina.
Exactly.
In the Pinto.
In the Pinto. There's so many wrongs in that.
I agree.
I mean, I know it's just shaking my head. Yeah. Breezy, give me an iconic 70s car that you love.
I'm a Chevelle girl, but I'm going to have to say the Datsun Z.
Z cars. Now, mm-hmm. That's a good one. You talk about a car that's gotten extremely popular.
Yes.
The JDM craze has gone nuts. But also, you got them Chevy boys be getting a hold of them, putting them LS motors in.
Oh, yeah.
You see more with LSs in them than you see with Z car motors in them anymore. Professor, I know you chomping at the bit to give us something odd and crazy and probably with a four-cylinder in it out of the 70s.
No, not a lot of cool four-cylinder 70s cars. First thing I think about would be like a Bandit Trans Am.
Now, that is iconic.
Oh, yeah.
I can totally see Richard with that.
Yeah.
Richard, you could put the hat on and grow you like a porn stash.
Yeah.
Be perfect.
With the 455 in it.
Oof. Well, shoot. I'll tell you what, the Bandit Trans Am, I wish it had a 455 in it. That 400 or the 403, the 6.6, that was a joke.
Yeah, that was a joke.
And the 400s with the 4-speeds were a little better.
I'll trade the 455 for T-tops.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though, because these cars sold extremely well, one, because you had no choice, and two, but they sold on style.
Yes.
And I mean, you got to think about it. A T-top Trans Am with your engine turn dash and that flat steering wheel, shaker hood scoop.
With the eagle on it.
Attached to the same motor. It was in a Delta 88, but still, we ain't thinking like that. But you know what I mean? Like, that's an iconic car. You want to start jumping bridges and dating Sally Fields and things like that.
I want to start dating Sally Fields anyway.
The bad thing is she looks like Miss Doubtfire now, though. That's the bad part.
Yeah, but it was like way on into life before she started looking like that.
You know what? I mean, when Sally Fields starts doing arthritis commercials, that's back. That's Frog.
Yeah. Makes you get arthritis.
Yeah. Frog was a tadpole back then.
Yeah.
There you go.
Frog looks like a dragon now. Bless her heart.
Yeah, but you
heart.
Got 100 good years with her.
What about
we did.
Fail cars in the 70s?
Oh, man. So many bad ones. The bad ones. We're only going to be here for 2 hours, Kevin.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah. God.
But there's so many bad ones. And Richard's like, but they're so good.
Yeah, some of the ones that Kobe's talking about as the bad ones are probably like some of my favorites.
So, like, Richard, like, if you
like
were
a Corvair or something.
Like, Richard, if you were a child of the 70s, like you grew up in the 70s, and you grew up in the tail end of the 70s, you're like me. Me and you are in the same boat on this. But let's say if we were 10 years older, I could imagine you having, like, a Bricklin SV1 poster hanging up in your room.
I could see that. Maybe not the Bricklin specifically, but, yeah. I like.
You strike me as more as a Bradley GT type guy.
I wouldn't mind a Bradley GT today, actually. I think they're cool.
They are cool, except for the doors that kind of like fasten like a gate. You know, it's got like the same latch like a toolbox has on it.
You gotta open the door with both hands so it doesn't get warped.
Yeah, really. It's got a prop rod for your door.
That's quality.
You know, there's actually a funny story about the Bradley GT. You know, the name Bradley GT, it was actually derived between the company, two guys started it. And then they came up with this fake name. I'm trying to remember the name for the life of me. But it was like a very generic name. And then they had this guy that was like a spokesperson, and that was his name. And everybody thought that he was the founder of Bradley GT. He was just a spokesperson. And it was actually two guys. They thought it was the biggest joke ever that they had this guy that everybody thought was Mr. Bradley GT, and it was just like somebody they dreamed up. He was actually like a salesperson for them, but they used him in all the ads and all that stuff.
Kind of like Joe Isuzu in the 80s.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. You know, Isuzu took a play from the Bradley GT playbook, but definitely a cool, odd 70s car. But, you know, there's so many really, really good ones. I mean, how about cool cars that came out in the 70s? How about the Lamborghini Countach?
Oh, man.
1974.
Now, that's one after my own heart right there.
I mean, the Countach is probably the most poster-printed automobile ever made.
Yeah. You know, that one even went on into the 80s as poster
and it got sexier every year.
It did.
That to me, the first-gen Countaches were when you start getting into the 80s, especially
target tops and all that,
4,000 quattro valves, and they started getting pretty freaky looking then.
Well, I want to tell you something. We talk about freaky. How about Cannonball Run? What was those two chicks? Now they both look pretty rough now, but back then, I mean, I know we're talking about Sally Field and all that good stuff, but I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, definitely one of the high parts of that movie.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've never wanted to buy a Lamborghini so bad in my life. Like that's the image that pops in my head. When I think of Lamborghini Countach, I instantly think about the chicks in the jumpsuits.
Yeah.
Like, instantly. I don't think about, you know, quattro valves or anything you just mentioned. I think about the chicks in the jumpsuits.
Were they twins?
No. They weren't twins. No, they weren't twins. They were just friends.
No. The reason why I thought they were the Doublemint twins.
No. But it'd been way cooler if they were, but no, they weren't twins. Way cooler if they were.
Yeah, that would have been way cooler.
That would have
all
just,
right, we're talking about cars in the
70s. That would have just checked another box right there for the old Rob. But, yeah, I'm just reminiscing. Sorry, don't mind me. And, but anyway, something cool. What else?
Someone get the hose.
Yeah, really. But talking about cool cars of the 70s, I mean, there's so many. And that's what we're talking about, you know, because there's so many that people have forgotten about. And we've compiled a list of really cool ones. And you'll be proud of us. When I say we compiled a list, we like really did. We didn't steal this from anybody. Like, this is a real list.
Yeah.
I'm proud. Like, I'm proud. We did homework.
We all did a lot of homework.
And our dog didn't even eat it. We have it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. We got Smitty and Breezy in the studio.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
That's right. Mini truck and matrimony right there. The hot rod power couple.
Dude, I love that.
I do, too.
I ain't gonna lie.
I love it. It just sounds great.
It does.
It just sounds nice. And then we got local builder Kobe Miller in the studio.
Howdy, guys.
And then, of course, we got Hot Rods and Happy Hour financial analyst slash numbers guru, the professor himself, rocking his bell-bottom britches and butterfly collars.
What's happening in Beaver City, Indiana?
That's right. I tell you what, we're talking cars of the 70s this week on Hot Rods and Happy Hour. And, you know, we want to talk about, I mean, everybody knows about the 70 Chevelles and the Boss Mustangs. Like, we're talking about these cars, that's a no-brainer. They're great. But I think we should talk about some of the more odd rides of the 70s. What's that?
The Reliant Robin.
Wasn't that a little three-wheel go-kart thing?
Yeah, the one that flipped over every time you turned it.
Steve Urkel drove one of them. No, that was a BMW.
That was an Isetta. Those are very valuable cars now. Those are very valuable cars. Very.
Local guy here in
Would you rock a Robin, Richard?
Maybe once.
I don't think you want to rock it too hard because it'll flip over.
I think you're only going to get once on three wheels.
Yeah. I mean, when I got a car on three wheels, I don't want to start that way. I want to do something to get it there.
I think we could have a lot of fun doing a little race out in the parking lot in it, you know.
Well, you don't want to make too tight of a turn. I'm just saying. Parking lot's not that big here.
I see an insurance claim coming up really quick.
I would want to make sure my seatbelt worked well.
Yeah. The only way I want to be on three wheel is if, you know, there's some hydraulic pumps pumping, kicking the third wheel in the air.
Hitting switches.
Yeah, hitting switches.
Such an OG.
Oh, yeah.
Such an OG. No jive turkey there.
No jive turkey over here.
I warn you, the 70s references are going to flow like a raging river today on Hot Rods and Happy Hour. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it in my platform boots. I love it. I tell you, well, speaking of safety, how about the Bricklin SV1? Now, that's when I first saw the Bricklin SV1, the first thing that popped into my mind is this thing's some kind of exotic Lamborghini something.
That's Richard's. That's right up Richard's alley.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw one, I thought it was like a fake DeLorean, not knowing, of course, that that was pre-DeLorean, and really DeLorean was a fake Bricklin.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it really was.
But you know something interesting, and Breezy, you threw this out here because you're the import girl.
Oh yeah, the whole Subaru thing.
Yeah, that Bricklin, the guy that started Bricklin ended up starting Subaru.
Exactly, and you know I'm on the import side, so I have to give my import roots a little shout out on that one.
I want to tell you something. If the Bricklin is the roots of the Subaru, they're in trouble.
That could have been the reason why it kind of failed.
I mean, we were raging pretty hard on the Brat last week, but the SV1, you don't come back from that.
Well, maybe I mean, it's fiberglass in the 70s, dude. I mean, I'm a fiberglass guy myself, and I don't see how good the fiberglass industry was in the 70s.
Corvettes did just fine.
It's because Corvettes. Everybody buys them, parks them in their garage, and nobody drives them.
Nobody drove their SV1 either. You know why? Because they were broke. That's why.
It didn't run. It was like the Corvette.
It's the safest car ever. You know why? Because you can't get in a wreck if you're not driving it.
If it's running hot on the side of the road, I mean, there's no danger there.
So tell us about the Professor. Now tell us about the SV1. What were they powered by?
First ones were actually 351 Windsors, and then they went to a 360 AMC. But the thing that I think about most when I think about the Bricklin was a road test I read many, many years ago. Testing the Bricklin against the 75 Corvette. Now, mind you, we're talking about a 75 Corvette, and all it kept talking about was how much better built the Corvette was than the Bricklin.
Wow.
GM cars in the 70s weren't exactly known for being the best built vehicles in the world, and they're saying it's better than the Bricklin.
A lot better.
A lot better. that's a pretty bad one right there. The Bricklin, but it was a cool design.
It was a cool idea.
I think it was really built on hopes and dreams.
It was. Severely underfunded.
Like the Bricklin, if you had told me like he later on started like the Chia Pet, I would believe it.
Yeah.
Not Subaru.
Or the inventor of the Yugo or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
The
Yugo. Brought the Yugo to the United
States. Well, he did invent the Yugo, too.
Oh, did he invent the Yugo? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Subaru and Yugo.
Yeah.
Now that brings the whole import scene all around in that one circle.
I'm just sitting here shaking my head.
That is the problem with the imports. There we go. We done figured it out.
I'm ready for a Yugo craze.
Yep.
Custom Yugos.
I'm not.
I'd love to see a chop top GL Yugo come cruising by.
That is a thing. There are Yugo clubs and stuff. There's people that are religious about them.
They really are, with
20 horsepower.
I almost sound like my dad when I say this. This world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's not even safe to leave the house no more. You know what? That's just
not if you're on the road with a Subaru, a Brooklyn, and a Yugo.
Makes me want to just send my driver's license in.
Yeah.
Just not a safe place no more.
I'm just glad we drive, you know, steel cars and trucks around here.
Killing me. Well, and what was the UOE made out of, like aluminum foil or something?
I don't even know, dude.
I think leftover, at that time, would have probably been Pabst Blue Ribbon beer can.
maybe like a Yugoslavian beer or something. Like the Yugoslavian equivalent to Pabst Blue Ribbon. Like, I hope they make way better beer than they do cars. That might be why them guys are so angry over there all the time. I don't know. Or at least they sound angry.
Bad beer and bad cars will do it.
Every time.
Because you're pushing your car everywhere you got to go. Why wouldn't you be mad?
Tell you what, if you don't develop a thirst doing that, you'll drink anything.
Yeah.
All right, I got another one for you. How about the Stutz Blackhawk?
Now that's a straight-up
OG pimp ride.
Yes, any Stutz vehicle, I mean, with them big monster headlights and stuff in there, that's just...
Yeah,
that's sexy.
But you got to think about it. They took 30 styling and brought it into the 70s.
Exactly. Yes. And I mean, think about it, dude. If you've got Elvis, you got old Willie Nelson, Lucille Ball, and George Foreman driving around in them.
So you telling me we got the grill man himself.
The grill man.
We got the redheaded stranger.
I love Lucy.
And Elvis the Pelvis rocking
the Pelvis.
A Stutz.
Exactly. I mean, that's the epitome of cool right there. That's all you need on your resume, dude.
I'll be honest with you. Maybe that's where the Bricklin went wrong. They didn't have the star power.
Exactly.
I don't think Elvis probably owned a Bricklin.
I don't even think Willie knows what a Bricklin is.
I don't think anybody really owned one. I think it owned them.
Well, he only made like 7, you know.
If Willie did own one, he definitely forgot about it years ago.
Yeah, well, yeah. Willie, the medicine he takes for his glaucoma.
Yeah, he don't really remember anything even now.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. We can't forget these commercial breaks.
Oh, always on us.
Always on us. Every time we get going good, we got to stop again, guys. I tell you what, we're talking some really hot 70s cars right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. We got Smitty and Breezy in the studio.
Hey, Rob, can you dig it?
I can dig it.
I knew that you could.
I think that's pretty groovy.
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 We got local builder Kobe Miller in the studio.
Just digging away.
And, of course, we got Hot Rods and Happy Hour financial analyst / numbers guru, Richard Hoskins himself.
Y'all are all so witty. What's going on, Beer Bottle Crossing, Idaho?
Sounds like a happening place. Could you imagine filling out an envelope with that on it?
That's a pretty long city.
That's what I'm screaming.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. How does a beer bottle cross anyway?
I don't get it.
Well, through AA.
I guess. Possible. That's a good one. That's a good one.
RCD.
Where you throw out all your road beers.
Yeah. That's beer bottle crossing. I wonder if you can get a DUI in beer bottle crossing.
I'm sure it's a rite of passage.
Could you imagine the cop cars saying that on the side of them?
That would be funny.
That's actually epic. We're going to have to Google that.
Yeah,
they probably just say police.
Road trip.
But speaking of epic 70s cars, there's some epic exotics in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we talked about the Countach a little bit, and the Countach is just one of those iconic 70s, 80s cars to me, even more than the 80s probably. But the Countach was, you know, a great supercar. I mean, it was, in my opinion, one of the very first supercars. Wouldn't you say that, Richard?
Yeah, it was almost what we would call like a hypercar today.
Exactly. I mean, you know, everybody wants to go. What's the one? What's that? Starts with a K. What's the real?
Oh, Koenigsegg.
Yeah, like that was the Countach of the 70s.
Yeah, it was like nothing nobody had ever seen.
And then, or like the C4 Corvette. Just kidding.
Here we go.
I think personally, I think what started the supercar craze is the Pantera. I think the 72 Pantera, 71, 72, 73 Pantera started the supercar craze.
I like the Pantera, and the Pantera is the happy medium between the Countach and another favorite of mine, probably my all-time favorite exotic car, the Ferrari Daytona. I absolutely love those cars. And I have to admit, though, the reason I love those cars is because of the replica ones.
Based on what?
A Corvette. The Fiero replica.
No. They're not Fieros. These are Corvettes. Yeah. They were based. It's Which so funny. They made a Ferrari. But this is the thing. You know, you took a V12, because they were V12 Ferraris, right?
Yeah, 4.4 liter, 365 horsepower.
And they replaced it with an L82 Corvette. So you've got Ferrari styling, GM performance and reliability. You made the perfect car. A guy named McBurney.
McBurney, yeah.
That made these cars. And actually, he pulled a mold off a real Daytona that was being restored in the early 80s. And this car was so exact that Ferrari actually sued him for making this.
Ferrari sued everybody for making kits, well, but he started it all.
Yeah, and he made a Daytona that, to be honest with you, because it was the same wheelbase as a Corvette, and everything worked. You got to think about it. I mean, a Corvette's no slouch. It's a sports car. And reliability-wise, it's 100 times the car that Daytona ever thought about being.
Yeah, probably a little bit more reliable. But as far as like performance goes, like as the American cars went, well, essentially to crap in the 70s, the European cars never missed a beat. They just kept getting faster and faster and faster.
Well, they didn't have to deal with the EPA like we had to do, too. That's true. That's the big difference. But McBurney got in a lot of trouble with it. And a lot of people don't know this, but even the car they used on Miami Vice, the Daytona, what's his name?
Tom Selleck?
Crockett.
Crockett and Tubbs.
Oh, Sammy Crockett.
Tubbs and Crockett.
Yeah, it was Tubbs and Crockett, but what's the guy's name?
Don Johnson.
Don Johnson. Yeah, let me say, he even had a song out in the 80s. Yeah. But... who didn't? Bruce Willis had a song out in the 80s, which is even scarier. But that was a kit car. That was a McBurney kit car.
Absolutely, man. You can't crash, 37 Daytonas in the filming of a TV show, so it made a lot more sense.
But, I mean, that's a beautiful car. True spoke wires. Absolutely. Oh, man, black.
They even had the Daytona seats in it, which is a very iconic thing that they actually offer in new Ferraris today. But the kit that they offered, it had the interior, it had the
They even had the dash. Everything changed out.
The Nardi wood steering wheel, the Daytona seats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was a really well-built kit. And, I mean, Ferrari actually contacted the producers of the show, Miami Vice, and told them it's pretty bad that you're using a fake Ferrari. And for a real one in your show, and they actually gave them that white Testarossa. They only had one, and they filmed all the rest of the Miami Vices with that one Daytona.
Yeah, and they had some
kids. Or one Testarossa, rather.
Yeah, one real one. That was like the hero car, and then a whole bunch of white Fieros.
Yes, Fieros.
Nobody's missing those. But we're talking about iconic cars of the 70s, and we're talking about that. The Daytona was a gorgeous car, but the Pantera, that was a neat car.
The baddest car, I think, that ever come out of the 70s to me. I mean, when you got Ford Power, 351 Cleveland, pushing out over 300 horsepower in a rear, well, you might as well say mid-engine, just lightweight car, that was way ahead of its time, I think.
Extremely ahead of its time, and I've told the story numerous times, but my dentist, who is the coolest dentist ever, done three amazing things in my life. One, he kept me cavity-free. Two, he's the track champion at Greenville Pickens Speedway. And three, he drove a Pantera to work every day.
Yes.
Every day? Robert Jarvis is the man.
When you have now, if you could have got them together in the late 70s, early 80s for next to nothing, now they're over six figures.
Yeah, these are some very expensive cars. Very expensive cars. I seen one the other day. It was just a middle-of-the-road car. I mean, it was a driver at best. It was $92,000.
Yeah.
For a 71 Pantera. And I'll be honest with you, they're kind of ugly unless they're modified.
I think they're beautiful regardless. I mean, especially the 72 with the little split bumper. It's almost like going back to the 70 Camaro split bumper. Whenever you split bumper something, it just looks way better than having this long rubber bumper across
it. It's a good-looking car, but when you see one with a body kit and all flared out, and so that's where Jarvis's was. That's candy apple red, wheels.
Oh, Inky.
They do. They look good modded. The ones Kobe's talking about are called the pre-L cars. And I think that was 73 back.
72 back.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, 73, they went to a rubber front bumper.
Yeah, well, I don't know about Prell or any of that stuff, Purell or whatever, but I'm going to tell you something.
You know about Prell.
That stuff eats anything, I tell you. But it's just rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
But anyway, but for the millennials, you know?
Oh.
But those are some good-looking cars. And modded. You got to think about it. People used to cut those things up right and left. I mean, it's like people flare out like mid-year Corvettes, which is like a sin now.
Rick Wasser had one when I was growing up, very young, and lightning hit a tree and fell on it.
Mm.
Was it flared?
It was when the tree fell off.
Yeah, once a tree done, it was flared all the places.
About 4 foot wider in all the wrong places.
Splat. But, I mean, that was a very cool car, though, because you had Italian styling performance, or Italian styling with American performance. I mean, these were pretty reliable automobiles.
Yeah, they were. Even, you know, they got the 351 engine, and the transmission was a ZF transmission, so, I mean, it's pretty bulletproof.
Yeah, I mean, and then that was the thing, compared to the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis, I mean, that was probably the most reliable car that came from that area.
Yeah, I'd say so.
By far.
American engines usually make Italian cars more reliable.
Well, I mean, that's like we were talking the other day. I got a good friend of mine that owns a dealership that sells BMWs and Jags and things like that. We were talking to this past weekend, and me and Richard were there, and we were talking about V12 Jags, and I told him, I said, yeah, the best V12 Jag in the world's got a small block Chevrolet in it. But that's the only way I'd have one. I mean, like, literally, if he had the nicest V12 Jag in the world, I'm like, yeah, it's got a small block Chevy. I'm like, that thing got a Holley on it.
He's a cool guy. He was pretty candid. I asked him if V12 Jags were as bad as everybody thinks they are, and he essentially said yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's bad when a car salesman agrees with you on something like that. He's supposed to be like, nah, it's just all hype. Yeah, they're not hype. V12s are horrible.
Yeah, they're awful.
They are. They are bad, bad. I'll tell you another bad 70s car, and you talked about it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
The Pinto.
The Pinto.
What about the Mavericks?
The Mavericks were bad ones, too. But now we'll get to the Mavericks. Don't get jumping on me, Frog. We're on the Pinto kick now.
Pinto.
Yeah. We on the Pinto beam.
Pinto station wagon.
Pinto station wagon. Speaking of Pinto station wagons, you know Jeff Dunham, the comedian, you know, mm-hmm. the puppet man. Yep. He actually restored one, a Pinto station wagon, and a Bradley GT.
Well, I mean, he's got enough money to be considered stupid money. So
that, and I'll be honest with you, that's probably a stupid money.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm all about the collector car hobby. It's actually one of those ones that were striped up silver, yellow, and like magenta stripes on it. It was like silver and black two tone. It was some special edition wagon, and like he paid an ungodly amount for it because it was fairly low miles, and then they ended up redoing it. And then he built a matching same year Econoline van to go with it.
Now the Econoline van would be cool.
Yeah, maybe. I tell you what ain't cool is these commercial breaks, man. They get us every time. Guys, stick around. We're talking 70s cars right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour. All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. We got Kobe Miller, local builder, in the studio.
What's going on, everyone?
We got Brielle and Smitty.
What's happening?
Using my government name again, Rob.
I'm sorry, Breezy. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll let it slide this time.
And, of course, we got the professor himself in the studio, Mr. Richard Hoskins.
What's happening, Speedway, Indiana?
Ooh, I like that one.
That's a good place.
Yeah. Oh, the Speedway in Indiana, though, was in Indianapolis.
Yeah, but it's. I think it's something a little different. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Indianapolis is a funky place.
Sounds fast anyways.
It is fast. Speedway.
While we're speaking of fast, we're on fast cars.
We are talking about some fast cars. We're talking.
Kobe's ready to get to it.
Really ready to get to us. Now we were talking about Pintos.
Oh yeah,
that's not a fast car.
That's
at all.
Not a fast car.
It's still iconic.
It is.
It's definitely iconic.
It's an iconic turd.
I think it was a scheme.
A steaming pile of something.
Yeah.
There's an emoji for
Pinto.
It.
But. Now, you were telling me that Robin Big, the show on MTV, they took and made an electric Pinto.
Yeah, he bought a completely restored Pinto and then took it. I think Kobe said
West Coast Customs.
They took out everything and converted it to a completely electric vehicle.
Well, that's one way to make it less flammable.
It is. Well, technically not really, because, I mean, that's a lot of voltage rolling through there.
Now you're going to get shocked.
Yeah. And, I mean, that dude was, what, 6'8", 400 and some change? So, I mean, I know that suspension's not holding all those battery packs and generators and stuff, and him without bottoming out.
Although if I'm not mistaken, he couldn't fit in it anyway. They tried that.
74 Cross Prius.
Yeah.
Well, the, I don't know, the Mustang 2 front ends, I don't know, those Pintos, which is the same thing. They were pretty tough. I'm just throwing that out there.
They are.
I've seen them under F-Series trucks before.
I've seen them under everything.
Speaking of Mustang 2, that's another iconic 70s awesome car.
Richard's dream car.
I like them. And they really are. Like, they catch a lot of flack for, you know, not being raging muscle cars, but nothing was in 74 through 78. And they are a good platform to build a hot rod on, and they're really closer to the 65 Mustang idea than the car that it replaced.
Well, you got to think about it. The 71 through 73 Mustang wasn't exactly a shining star. That was like the luxury.
I love them.
Didn't they call it like the Grande or something?
There was a Grande, yeah.
Yeah, like or like some like XL Excursion Mustang or something.
There was a Grande, and then that gave way with the Mustang 2 to the Ghia package.
The Venti.
Is that where Starbucks got their Grande?
And that's the thing with those Mustangs. I mean, me and Smitty almost lost our life to a 73 Mustang at SEMA this past year.
Yeah.
Chip Foose built one, and Chip Foose can take anything. He can take chicken poop and make chicken salad out of it. But I'm going to tell you, that's one car. I think that's the reason Chip almost ran us over is because he was so ashamed of that car. He was ducked down driving it in.
Yeah.
And we almost died.
We almost died by one of the ugliest Mustangs I'd ever seen.
Even after Chip Foose did it.
I'm sorry, Chip.
I think they just have really low front seats.
No. You just got to have really low expectations with that
car. Exactly.
Like that's, I just can't get down with it, man. I can't get down with it. I tell you what, it reminds me of, and I don't want to get too far off the Ford bunch here, but it reminds me of a Javelin a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's another iconic 70s car.
Yes.
It's like a Javelin and a Lamborghini Espada had a baby.
Two ugly cars.
Yeah.
They made an ugly baby.
I love Espadas.
Of course you do. Of course you do. I got to Google what an Espada is. I thought that was like some kind of cancer.
I got to admit, I've never heard of
Espada. This.
I've never heard of a Espada.
Yeah. I don't think many people
what
have.
What is it?
It's a Lamborghini four-seat grand touring car from the 70s. They've got a very, not quite in the same vein as the Countach, but a very distinctive look.
I'd imagine so.
What would that distinctive look be like?
It's kind of like the...
A Grande Mustang?
Think about a Mustang, a 71 Mustang that's about 10 inches lower, about 7 inches wider, and almost as long.
With four doors?
No, two doors.
So it was a two-door car still?
Yeah, it just had a back seat. Two-door
car. Just had a back seat.
Yeah. So it was like the Lamborghini for the family man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where Porsche came up with that Carrera four-door...
It kind of looks like that, actually.
M things are so ugly.
I think they're pretty cool.
And they're all right.
Ugly. Yeah, I mean,
every time I see them, the first thing that pops in my head is single dad.
Yeah.
Every time. Dad with money. Single dad.
Yeah, but you got to think, though. I mean, 9 times out of 10, when I see one, it's a lady driving it with no kids in the car.
Because she got the dad's ride in the divorce.
That's true.
Yeah, in the
divorce. She got the ride, he got the kids, huh?
Exactly. But... So now to the Javelin.
The Javelin.
And go ahead and say it. I can feel the professor over there. He's like rubbing his hands together.
It's no gremlin, but I do like Javelins.
You know who else liked the Javelin?
Who else?
The Alabama Police Highway Patrol.
They actually did have Javelin police cars.
Yes, they used them for high speed pursuits.
I guess there wasn't a lot of chases.
They would have had what, the 304 in them?
401, possibly 401. Up to.
Wow.
401.
Maybe 390. I think it would depend on the year that they used. But.
Huh.
It was 401.
The best looking Javelin ever made is the one the Ring Brothers built when we were at SEMA this past year.
The Ring Brothers.
If you put enough Camaro parts on anything, like it had 69 Camaro bumpers on, and it's got like a Camaro RS style grill. The only thing they kept is like the humps in the fenders and like the Javelin emblems.
They kept the gas door.
And the gas door. Like if you, and that's the thing, it's just, If you put enough first-gen Camaro parts on anything, it's going to be cool.
Was that the black one?
It was gold.
Was it gold?
It was gold. It was gold, and it looked like a Camaro with humps in the fenders.
And it actually was a very pretty car.
It was a very pretty car, and that's saying a lot for a Javelin. It's kind of like saying that's a very pretty Pinto. It just don't even sound right. It's like saying it's dark light. You know, it don't make sense.
Dark light.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. Richard's over here like, really?
I don't think anyone's ever said that's a really pretty Pinto.
No, I guarantee that.
But
nobody got excited about getting a Pinto. Although back in high school, there was a guy that had a Mercury Bobcat.
Yes.
And this guy, Bobcat, which is the metric equivalent of a Pinto, which was the Mercury version of it. But he was so excited about this Bobcat. It had a 2.3 turbo motor in it, though.
Yeah, like, I remember that. I think he still has it, as a matter of fact. What about Shane Looper? Shane Looper's got the Bobcat wagon with the turbo.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about a family heirloom right there.
Well, yeah. I mean, because can't nobody get rid of it.
Exactly.
Nobody else is going to buy it.
That's why it's a family heirloom.
Yeah, that's why there's
give
so
that
many
thing
one
away. Nobody's going to buy it. Yeah, well, it's a one family owned. That's right, because you die with this thing.
Exactly.
That's like Richard's poster hanging in his bedroom of the Gremlin.
Now, I will say this. The Gremlin as a whole sucks. The Gremlin X with a 304, I'll give it a few cool points.
I want to put purple hornies on one and make it sound like a Jeep.
Only now, you, Richard.
No, but I mean, that's a 70s car, though. Those are cool. The 304s, the little red ones with the white stripe, I like that.
Yeah, I wonder where you can find one of those.
I just wonder. Richard almost had a conniption fit last year at Motorfest. I take that back, actually. I've seen Richard get this excited twice. One time over a certain Dodge Omni, and one time over a Gremlin X at Carolina Motorfest at Greenville Pickens Speedway. Richard seen it. He said, Rob, I just found the perfect car. I'm selling the Daytona. I'm buying me a car. I found this car.
I remember that day because Richard actually grabbed me to go show me the Gremlin X. And I thought I didn't know what he was talking about. He's like, you got to come check this out. You got to come check it out. We're walking down through there. I'm expecting a Malibu or something. And then I literally kept walking as he stopped. And I turned around and there it was, a Gremlin X.
I like traditionally beautiful vehicles.
Are we still talking about Gremlin X's?
And Dodge Omnis.
And Dodge Omnis.
Bless your heart.
That morning, Carolina Motorfest, I never thought about it when I first woke up that I was going to have to slap one of my best friends. Like, I'm literally just going to have to open hand and slap him. Just beat some sense into him. I tell you what, these commercial breaks are coming up on us right and left.
Wow.
Killing me. Guys, stay tuned. We're talking 70s right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour on 106.3 WORD.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.